الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. I just want to talk about today, very quickly, is about sin. But before I do that, let me just give you more introduction. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more that I go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. And today's topic, as I mentioned earlier, is about sin. So I want to look at it from an Islamic perspective on what it is and rewards and perhaps to the person and get rid of rewards from it for doing those kinds of things. It's like, for example, when a person sins, while they're sinning, their faith or their iman, it rises above them, kind of floats up top like a canopy. And while they're committing that sin, whoever it may be, theft, having sex with someone outside of marriage, and then once they finish that, then their iman, their faith, comes back to into them. So prayerfully, they will not die while they're having sexual intercourse, illegal sexual intercourse, because they may die without faith. But their faith is above them and not within them. And so sin is an immoral act considered to be transgression against divine law. So it's an act or something that takes place and it goes against some type of divine edict, some type of divine law. For us in Islam, we have what is called the Sharia. And the Sharia, it's just basically is Islamic law. It's not something for people to be afraid of. Like some people would say that, yeah, they're trying to make Islamic law part of this country. No, we're just trying to do Islamic law. That's all. What it says in the Quran to do. And what it says in saying the proper Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, that's all that we're doing. And if people choose to do that and become Muslim, that's up to them. It really is up to Allah to make them person Muslim, but that would be up to them. I'm not here again to persuade anyone to become a Muslim or be a Muslim. I just tell you what being a Muslim is, and we are not the same like other people, that we are different than other people. And like other people with other faith, they're different from other people that are not part of their faith. It's nothing new. It's just that's just where we're coming from with this particular class that I present to you, because a lot of people do not have this understanding about what Islam is and what Islam is not. This class has been around for many years, and by Allah's grace and his will, that we continue to be around to educate the people. And Allah takes my soul that this particular broadcast will continue to be broadcast to the people so the people can learn more about what Islam is and what Islam is not. And not what you're being told or fed what Islam is and what Islam is not. So I just want to mention that. I mentioned that to my beautiful students and those who are new students to the class. That's the main focus of this particular class. But let me get into the class itself. Again, it's a transgression against divine law. And so you have one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him. He said, righteousness is good behavior. And sin is what fluctuates in the chest or in your chest, and you would hate that people discover it about you. Sometimes you know you have this, you know it's wrong. You have this uneasiness inside of your chest or inside of your heart. There's some, and I'm gonna talk about heart later on. You have this uneasiness inside your chest, and you know that it's wrong. And so this may be cause good behavior, you feel good about it, but something that is bad, or for the most part, most human beings, they know it is bad. They recognize that being bad, why they're doing that, it is bad, and it doesn't feel good inside of their soul and outside of their body. Now, I said I'm going to talk about heart, so let me talk about heart right now in relationship to sins. And that is also said by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, when a believer commits sins, a black spot appears on his heart. If he repents and gives up that sin and seeks forgiveness, his heart will be polished. But if the sin increases and the black spot increases, that is the what you call the Iran, and I'll get into a little bit later on, that is mentioned in Allah's book. It says, nay. I want you to turn, first of all, to chapter 83, verse 14. Again, chapter 83, verse 14 in your Quran. That's the only text that is required for this particular class. That's all they ask you to do. And you get it for free. Or you go to Quran, Quran.com, and you go to that particular website, and the Quran will pop up, and right there you have it. That's, again, it's free. If you want to have one conveniently located in your pocket or whatever, then you can always order one on islamic.org, or go to the neighborhood place of worship for the Muslims and ask, can you please get a copy of Quran in whatever language that you speak. Well, right now we're talking about chapter 83, verse 14. And it says, nay, but on their hearts is the ran, covering of sins and evil deeds, which they used to earn. So the more you do, the greater your heart become covered with this black spot. You do another sin, another black spot gets there and join the previous black spot that was already there. And another one, you do another sin, another spot, until your heart become rusted and dark. And it's like sins mean nothing to you. Right now, for many people, sins mean something to them. They feel guilty about it. And I get into that later on, that you go to Allah and you ask for repentance for the sin that you committed. It's a simple thing. You don't go to a man or to a woman or to an individual to ask them or tell them or direct them, please forgive me my sins, because a man can't do that. A woman can't do that. You go to Allah. Allah requests that you go to Him when you commit a sin and ask for forgiveness. And don't repeat that sin over and over again. This is from Islam. What other people do in their faith, I have nothing to do with that. But you're in this class, and you're in this class to learn about Islam, what it is and what it is not. The truth about Islam and the falsehood that people put out there about the faith of Islam. And so I want to just want my students to understand what I'm talking about in this particular class. And that if you do a sin, you can ask Allah to forgive you your sins. You can seek repentance from Allah for the sin that you commit. But let me move on. I've got to not give a khutbah or a sermon to you. And so you all get the point about when you commit a sin, get the darkness on your heart, commit another sin, you get a darkness, the darkness on your heart. And then, of course, you go before your Lord with those sins written down in your book. And then you had to answer for those sins that you committed. And Allah is fully aware of the sins that you committed. And I'm going to talk about that a little later on, too, if I have the time. Also, it is mentioned by Abu Huraira, who is one of the companions of the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad. And he said, the Prophet said, Allah the Exalted and Glorious said, a slave committed a sin, and he said, oh Allah, forgive my sin. And Allah said, my sin committed a sin, and then he realized that he has a Rabb, meaning a Lord, who forgives his sins and punishes for sin, for the sins. He then again committed a sin and said, my Rabb, my Lord, forgive my sin. And Allah, Most High, says, my servant committed a sin and then realized that he has a Rabb, a Lord, who forgives his sin and punishes for the sin. He again committed a sin and says, my Lord, ya Rabb, forgive my sin. And Allah, may glorify him, said, my slave has committed a sin and then realized that he has a Rabb, a Lord, who forgives the sin or takes him to account for sin. I have granted forgiveness to my slave and let him do whatever he likes. So I won't get into the last portion. I just get into the portion, the former portion, and that is this person committed a sin. Might be the same individual, maybe different individual, committed a sin, knowing, and he goes to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me. He ain't say nothing about going to an individual. He goes to Allah and asks, Ya Rabb, forgive me, Stakfili. He said, forgive me, Allah, for the sin that I committed. Then Allah says, you know, hey, my servant realized that he has a Lord and committed a sin, and I forgive him for his sin, and that he get punished for me for his sin, then I forgive him for his sin. This is from Allah. And so when you talk about repentance, part of repentance is that a person, and I did an episode on repentance before, they repent for it, and then it's certain other criteria is that that goes along with that, is that the person does immediately stop doing it, also feel some remorse, feel sorry for what they've done, don't repeat the same thing over and say, oh Allah, forgive me what I done, I won't do it again, but then you end up doing it again. And the beautiful thing about Allah's forgive you your sins. Until you lay on your deathbed or you die, at that point, your book is closed and it's too late. But Allah forgives you your sins. Whatever you committed last night or today, Allah will forgive you for it. You go to Allah and ask for forgiveness and ask for guidance. And that he placed you on Sirata Mustaqim, on the path towards him. This is what you want. This is what we all want. We want to go towards the path towards Allah. That's what you want to do and what it takes to travel on the path towards Allah. Not to go to the right or to the left of the path, but to stay on Sirat al-Mustaqim and go straight to Allah. If we sway a little bit, go off a little bit, and we commit a sin, ask Allah to forgive us. Don't commit that sin again. Please put us back on the path of Allah, path towards your Allah, and then get back on that path. And continue on that path. I want to read something else to you pertaining to sin. And also, again, reported by Abu Huraira, that the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, he says, when a Muslim, we're talking about washing his face, or make ablution, for us as Muslims, before we make prayer, we make ablution, or make what we call wudu, W-U-D-U, wudu, or ablution. We wash up. This is what we do before we make the prayer. And so this was all Muslims do before we make the prayer. We wash our hands and we wash our hands and we do our nose and our face and our whole face and our arms and our feet. So we do a lot of things that we wash. And so Allah wants to talk about now about a person who makes his ablution. And he says here, when a Muslim or a believer washes his face, you know, of course, in ablution, every sin is contemplated with his eyes will be washed away from his face along with water. So whatever you saw or did with your eyes is washed away by the water, or with the last drop of water. And when he washes his hands, every sin will also be washed away with the water on his hands to the last drop. And when a person washes his feet, every sin that he commit, that he walked towards with his feet, that will be washed away to the last drop from his feet, resulting in that he comes out pure from all sins. It's a simple process. Become Muslim, you make the wudu, Allah gets rid of the sins. Ask Allah to forgive you for what you've done. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah will be merciful towards you and forgive you the sins that you committed. This is why you are alive. But when you meet your demise and you die, at that point it's too late. Too late for that. Unless your people you leave behind, unless those people pray for you, or some kind of charity you left behind and you benefit from it. There are other ways while you're laying in your grave that you could still benefit while you're in your grave. But for right now, you ask Allah to forgive you for the sins that you committed. And don't be bragging about your sins the next day. What Allah covers at night, don't brag about it during the day. Allah is covering you. But you go and you tell people, yeah, you know, I did so-and-so with so-and-so last night. Okay? And so the thing is, fulana, whatever. So the thing is, now you went and you told everybody about what you did, and Allah covered you from that thing. For what you did last night or today or whatever it is. He covered it from the eyes of others. And we know right now others knew what we were doing. We would be very shamed about that particular thing. But we ask Allah to forgive us. We ask Allah to forgive us our sins. And ask Allah to make us stronger that we don't commit that same sin again. It is not too late. Don't let Shaitan convince you, the devil convince you that no, it's no way you're going to be saved. It's no way that you are going to be saved. So therefore, too bad for you. Go ahead and commit the sin again. No, don't be convinced of that. You ask Allah all the way to the end to forgive you for your sins, because Shaitan is going to bother you to the end while you're on your deathbed trying to make you do wrong. Or not love Allah. All these kind of things are going to make you do to try to get you to be like him. To be like Shaitan and be on your way to hell. So inshallah, we got to be careful. God willing, we have to be careful about this kind of thing. And understand, yeah, you committed to sin. Whatever it was. But you ask Allah for forgiveness because it's not too late. From Islam perspective, it's not too late. Other faith perspective, they may say it's too late for you, it's no hope for you, all this kind of thing. It's like the story about a man who killed, I believe it was 99 people. And then He got tired of killing, and so he went to a learned person. He said, where can I find a learned person? Kind of asked him, you basically wanted some guidance. So he went to the person and sought guidance from that person, didn't get the help that he wanted, ended up killing that person too. And then he was on his way to get it to another person to ask him about to seeking forgiveness. I don't want to do this kind of thing anymore. I don't consent anymore. And the person ended up dying. And so you had the two angels come. You had the angel of mercy come in, the angel of mercy coming in, take his soul, and then also the angel trying to take his soul and pull him and drag him basically to the hellfire. I guess a good and bad angel. I don't call it good and bad angel. That's the worst. That's not a good way to put it. But you had these angels fighting over the soul of the individual, where this individual is supposed to be or go. And so how did they solve that? They resolved it or solved it by saying, okay, let's measure from where he died to where he was supposed to be going. And so is he closer to the person he's going to go see to seek repentance and forgiveness? Then he go with you. I mean, he go to a good place. But if he's not close to that individual in measuring, then that person goes with me to a bad place. And so what happened is they measured, and then the person ended up going to a good place. And so some scholars say, well, what happened is Allah made it that way. Allah shrank the distance so the man can seem more like he's closer to the person he's going to see for repentance than the opposite. And that's what's one of the rahmah, the mercy from Allah Ta'ala. So this man was looking for mercy. He was looking for, man, I want to stop doing this thing. And so he was on his way to ask, how do I do that? How do I seek mercy or repent for what I'm doing? And so you can do the same thing. You can repent from what you're doing, and Allah is there waiting for you to seek his repentance. Waiting for you to repent for what you're doing. And like I said earlier, if man realized he has a Rabb, he has a Lord, and know that his Lord will forgive him and punish him. He knows this. But he said, yo, Rabb, I'm sorry for what I did. Please forgive me. And so Allah has a choice to forgive him or not forgive him for what they've done. And so my beautiful students, is that if you've done something or you know someone done something, just go to that individual and encourage the individual to go to the Lord and ask Allah to forgive them for what they've done, and don't do it again. And if you did something, you go to Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness, and you don't do it again. If you've done it with someone, you and that individual together, that you pray to Allah that you don't do that same thing again, and you don't do it again, and you ask for Allah's forgiveness. Or you pray for yourself and the individual that you did that thing with. And so I'm gonna move on my students, and I try not to dwell. And so it is also mentioned that a man asked Ibn Umar, the son of Umar. What do you hear Allah's messenger, peace and blessings upon him, saying? And it's basically saying in secret. And so he said, he was talking about whispering on what happened on the day of judgment. And he said, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, one of you will come close to his Lord shelter him in his screen and say, did you commit such and such sin? He will say, yes. Then Allah will say, did you commit such and such sin? And the person will say again, yes. So Allah will make him confess all his sins. And he will say, I screen them, meaning your sins, for you in the world. And today I forgive you for you. This is such a merciful Lord that Allah is saying to you, shield and imagine your mind, shield and shelter you for everyone else, and just asking you one-on-one No one else is around. Just you and your Lord. And he's asking you. He's well aware that you did these things. But he's asking you. Did you do such and such sin? You said yes. You do such and such sin? You said yes. You such and such sin? You said yes. Until all you confess to all your sins. And then Allah, what happens after that? Then Allah screen you from your sins, protect you from your sins in the world. And today he said, I forgive you for the sins that you committed. He is a merciful Lord. He is not one without mercy for us. The ones that he created, all of us, from Adam all the way to the last man. A man, woman, or whomever, a person, a human being. Let me move on and mention about the greatness of sins. And that is, Allah's message of peace and blessing upon him. He mentioned the greatest sins, or he was asked about the greatest sins. He said, to join partners in worship with Allah, to kill a soul which Allah forbidden to kill, and to be undutiful to or unkind to one's parents. And the prophet, he added, shall I inform you of the biggest of the sins? That is to forge statement or false statements. So I just wanted to mention the various sins associated part of with Allah and also being unkind towards one's parents. These are big time sins that we do not want to commit. And also false statements. Matter of fact, Islamically, a person that gives a false statement and proving that they're giving a false statement, and they say, I bear witness, or I said this, all that, and then this individual, once it's found out, he won't be able to testify again because it'd be fear that this person's kadhab, that he is a liar, that he or she would not, their testimony would no longer be welcome. They will no longer take their testimony because they are known to be a liar. And so be careful of that. Make sure you know that you're going to tell the truth even against your own soul, as one of the ayats in the Quran, or the verse of the Quran says, that you bear witness even against your own soul, against a person rich or poor, it doesn't matter, or your own self, that you bear witness, I did this, I did that. That's it. But you're only confessing to Allah because you want forgiveness from Allah. You don't want forgiveness from a man or a woman. You want the forgiveness to come from Allah and from Allah and from Allah only. And so I just wanted to mention that to my beautiful students. Also, it was mentioned that Aisha, Allah have mercy upon her. She was the wife of the prophet. She said, when a Muslim is afflicted by an anxiety, pain, or sickness, and then because of that, his sins are atoned. So much so that if a thorn pricks him or he suffers a simple minor injury, his sins are forgiven. That's how much sins are forgiven. Just by merely being sick, or being pricked, or being anxiety, or being in pain, sins are forgiven. Some scholars say that if you shake up, I think I saw when you shake a person's hand, sins are forgiven. Like myself to another Muslim brother, I shake his hands, sins are the hands that the sins sort of shake off. And Allah knows best about the haq, or the truth of that, or the falsehood pertaining to that. But I just wanted to mention that to my students. I want to just mention a couple of things because we are steady running out of time. And that is, it is mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad, he said, O son of Adam, I forgive you as long as you pray to me and hope for my forgiveness. Whatever sins you commit. O son of Adam, I do not care if your sins reach the height of the heaven. Then you ask for my forgiveness, I will forgive you. O son of Adam, If you come to me with an earth load of sins and meet me associating nothing with me, I would match it with an earth load of forgiveness. I want to end this by saying, you have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.